Yeah. All right, here we go. That's hype as hell. Woo! All right, here we go. Oh man, feels good to be here. Feels yes. Real good. Yes. How are you feeling?
I am feeling great.
How are you feeling, Habibi? Okay, let's get started. The following contains content not suitable for the youth under the age of 17 without adult supervision. If this is not a good time for you to be listening to us, please stop what you're doing and either get the kids out of the room or the car or find a better time to listen to us. We will give you a few seconds. Okay. Welcome to House 7. My name is Savage and this is my beautiful wife,
Liti.
We're in the Cove right now, our home base of operations, and this is Beach Talk for the Long Walk. Episode 9. Man, I don't know why Season 2 feels more epic than Season 1. But either way, the message is self-progress and motivation, you know?
Yeah, it's part of growing. So yeah. I think Season 2 just...
Yeah, there's this growing... And this is growing. Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
We would like to mention that it is Tongan Language Week. Happy Tongan Language Week. Malo lele.
Malo lele mo fefe hake.
Yeah, saibe, saibe.
Fefe hake.
Saibe. Yeah, I like hozi. I like tongues and...
Le fratonga.
No, man. You put me on blast right now. We'd also like to mention that, hey, we're nearing the end of the census. So get your numbers in right now recorded.
Yes.
Whether you're doing it online or mailing it in. Make sure to get your census done. Also, me and my family just recently watched a great movie on Netflix called Dangol.
Dangol.
Yeah, it's a movie about a wrestling family, and man, it's really good. It's a good feeling movie. You don't have to just be an athlete. If you're looking for inspiration and motivation, yes. Watch Dangol. Great movie, inspirational too. We here would like to thank our sponsors, Anchor, for the free distribution of our podcast. We don't take that lightly. Go ahead and download the Anchor app and look us up at Owl7 the Podcast. At the end of the day, it's all about self-progress. Mm-hmm. Today's episode is dedicated to our very close, immediate, and extended aunties and uncles. Shout out to all our aunties and uncles. We love you. Those who have passed and those who are still here, we appreciate and love every one of you guys for the lessons and the love that you show. So thank you, aunties and uncles.
Yes.
You have anything to say?
Yeah. You know, just as we talked about it before, my husband and I were raised around uncle and aunties. Yeah. And, you know, even though there was bad times, good times, the main point is that we had someone watching us. Yeah. So with that, we want to acknowledge you guys and give you guys, you know, just that we truly love you guys. If we don't speak, if whatever the case may be, just know that we truly love you guys from the bottom of our hearts.
Real quick, what's the Tongan word for aunties and uncles in Tongan?
Auntie, koi fae aki, mm-hmm. And then uncles are, like, uncles, there's not really word. There's got to be, like, an uncle. Like, if it's the mom's brother, then it's, like, fae tangata. If it's, like, the
dad's
brother, it's, like, tamai aki. So, there's not really, like, it's just, like, tamai aki is almost kind of like you can call them dads or moms or, you know.
Well, can you say alpito. I appreciate that. Moving forward, our song of the day is Cassie, Me and You, released in 2006. Cassie, Me and You. Do you remember what you were doing when the song came out?
Yeah. Man, that brought to memories.
Do you? Alright. So that was Cassie, Me and You, released in 2006. Man, that was a great year for me personally. I had a lot of great times in that year alone. 2006 was very memorable for me. So shout out to Cassie. Anyways, tag us to a video of you vibing to it on your IG story at Owl7_the podcast. And yeah, show us what you got. Our number of the day, 3.
3.
Wherever you are in the moment.
Tolu.
Yeah, wherever you are, you know, dwell in the moment and get something of a message from it. Our color of the day, would you like to read that?
Yes. Color of the day is, where is it at?
Color of the day right there.
Silver.
Silver. If you see it, say it. Silver? This is kind of silver. Yeah, silver. Okay, cool. Our thought of the day. Who really supports my dream? Wow. Think about that. Who really supports my dream? If I have a dream, who really supports my dream? So, yeah, go ahead and meditate and, you know, concentrate on what that really means to you. All right, moving forward. Our person of the day, Valerie Adams.
Yay!
If you're not aware of who she is, go ahead and look her up, do your research and your studies, and tell us what you get. Valerie Adams. Shout out to you. Our quote of the day. Would you like to read that?
Yeah, quote of the day. The raw on one lion silences the bleeding of many sheep. Yes. And that quote is from me.
Actually, we didn't find the origin of who said that, but yes, the it's roar powerful. Of one lion silences the bleeding of many sheep. That's so profound. It means a lot. It's deep.
It is deep.
You know. Anyways, like, to me, that speaks volumes because you don't necessarily have to say so much or talk so much about your accolades and your credits and the work that you put in, right? You kind of let your work do that for you. Mm-hmm. And I think what's more important about that is like, especially if we have haters, that's actually a good sign that you're doing something with your life. And the more haters, hey, your work shuts that all down. Yep. That's all the validation you need, man. So keep grinding and succeed more, man. Our goal of the week. Find a fact about your family history. Find a fact about your family history. That's pretty easy for me. Our original name from my mother's side, coming from my grandpa, is Naupoto. And I believe from my dad's side, from his father, is just Samth, right?
Yeah, I think you guys said like Unga and all these
other things. Yeah, but I'm saying from the direct line.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you? You got anything interesting about your family we should know?
That we are just very athletic. I'm just kidding. Nah.
Did you learn something this week?
Yeah, I did. I was actually going through Facebook and then, you know, I saw like a line of like my grandfather, great-grandfather was Fijian. And there's more story to it, but we'll get to it. We'll
elaborate on it.
Yeah.
Our congratulations. Our congratulations goes out to our brother, Henry Louis, and his music career. Go check him out on SoundCloud at Henry Louis, H-E-N-R-Y, last name L-U-I. And yeah, man, it's about to change the game for the community, believe it. Henry Louis, man, that music is just
ooh, yeah, shout out to fire. You, bro.
Yeah. Our workout tip. Hey, son, can you shut up? Thank you. It's not like we're shooting a podcast. Jesus Christ. Our workout tip for the day. Pull-ups. 4 sets of 3. Pull-ups, 4 sets of 3. You know, that's very rude. Thank you very much. I appreciate that, son. I'll remember that when you're doing a podcast. So, moving forward. Can you go get your son and shut him up? Just kidding. I love my kids very much. All right. So, today's PI scene we are featuring, you know, I just want to tell you that this is a very unique story. And who we're about to share with you guys. This is Leah of Queenie Sally Jewelry. Read that clearly. Leah of Queenie Sally Jewels. I apologize. Leah of Queenie Sally Jewels. Leah was born and raised in American Samoa, then moved to Hawaii, Honolulu, and has recently relocated to Seattle, Washington. She's of Tongan origin. She believes in God and family, represents the island way, coming from a family of 10 siblings, and now with 35 grandkids, with her son being the youngest out of the clan. She'll do anything for her family. As a mother of 3 beautiful children and all the craziness in the world, she couldn't bring herself to find a job and leave them behind. She searched for ways to be home with her family and still be able to provide financially. So how could she find that way? She started off with Treats, which is a Hawaiian gummies business she was selling. She didn't expect business to bloom, but it did, and glory to God above that it did. From there, she expanded to jewelries. She has a love for jewelry, and so she gave it a try. It started off as a hobby, but she plans to make it a permanent job, in which her oldest will be able to one day take over and run for their family.
That's good.
This was originally for extra income, because we all know the expenses that come with taking care of our children. Meanwhile, her husband's income goes to the bills and other aspects. Her dream is to make life comfortable for her family. Her kids are the center and purpose for everything she does. She prays one day to be able to buy a house so they can just live rent-free. That'd be nice.
Wow.
That'd be really nice. And then that's one hell of a goal. We pray that you succeed in that. Moving on with Leah. She wants people to remember her as a happy, outgoing, family-oriented, compassionate person. And she always remembers she always stood for the right thing. She loves extracurricular activities with her kids. She is a super hyper energetic soul, and her kids make it a plus. Hiking, the beach, exercise, or shopping and all, but mostly a big time spiritual person. She loves to read the Bible and just have a moment to herself where she can just kick back and listen to gospel music. You and my wife will definitely get along. Trust me, that's all my wife ever does when she has her alone time. She would first like to share with everybody that God is good.
Yes,
don't ever let anything or anybody stop you from doing what's right. During this time of pandemic, colors are changing and true colors are revealing. That's deep. If there's one thing that she has learned being a business owner, is to never ever think that you can't take God's glory into your own hands and make it as your own. But always give glory back to God. Man, that is deep.
That is powerful.
That is, wow. I got goosebumps. Oof. I mean, Leah, shout out to you and your business. We pray manifold and more success coming towards you, because you got the right spirit, mindset. You got the right attitude and the right mindset. And, you know, I mean, just from here on, I was just putting more of the work, and we definitely see you succeeding in that. Thank you for reaching out to us and allowing us to help you. Not only promote, but, you know, get your business out there. Yeah. Babe, do you have anything to mention about Leah and Gwini Sally Jules?
Yeah, shout out. You know, there's a lot of single moms and young moms out there who doesn't have that mindset.
Yeah.
And for you to do that, thank you. You know, thank you for even adding me and hitting me up about it when I saw your profile.
Yes,
that stood out to me. So continue to do what you're doing. And you know what? You guys all go and follow her.
Yeah. Check her out at stuff. Sally Jules. Sorry, Gwini Sally Jules. Gwini Sally Jules. I'll have that somewhere here. So, yeah, shout out to Leah. Thank you for sharing your business with us. We hope and pray more success in that. Moving forward. You have any opening statements?
God is good.
Yeah, amen. I received that.
Mm-hmm.
My opening statement is just, you know, with everything going on in the world, just always take time to think of where you came from. Just remember where you came from.
Mm.
That being said, we're moving to the most important segment of our show, and that is prayer point, our point of prayer. We always say it, and we can't say it enough. We can't do anything without praying and giving thanks back to which we believe in. With that being said, we begin prayer point now. Wow, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, this has been one hell of a ride, and we're on episode 9. And I love you.
I love you too.
I love you too, son. I love you guys.
Love you.
With that being said, we're going to take a break, come right back. Before that, here's 2 for the haters. Boom. Go ahead and get you something to drink, get you something to snack on. We're going to sit in and come back to our discussion. Love you guys. Thank you guys for being on this journey with us. Ready? All right. All right, guys. We're back. Jumping into our 7 subjects of discussion. Number 1, parental effort. Number 2, the 13 families. Number 3, accents come from our ancestors. Number 4, black people, the original Jews. 5, condoning underage activity. 6, be your age. 7, was Hitler wrong?
Be your age.
Okay, let's get into it. So, be your age really has everything to do with our generation, my generation, your generation. And how sometimes, because, you know, it's such a technology-driven era, you know, where we're so, everybody's so into social media, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, you know, YouTube, whatever the case might be, there a percentage of our lives now is being activated by social media. So sometimes we might forget our age and whether we post or, you know, share content that is not of our age group. It might psychologically trick us into believing that we're younger than what we actually are. So what I mean by that, an example is I'm 31. I should act 31. And what 31-year-olds, I believe, do now is we either have families, kids, a job. We, you know, we got bills to pay, a mortgage, car notes and stuff like that of that nature. I shouldn't be really trying to, basically trying to push a message such as I'm on TikTok. And, you know, do the things I'm doing negative-wise. You know, right. I have nothing against people doing TikToks, but I'm saying using your platform for things that are not beneficial or more specific, progressive towards people who watch your content. What do you feel about that?
No, you're right. You're right. I think what I got from it was be your age.
Yeah.
It's not just necessarily talking about social media, what you do.
Yeah.
It's also how you represent yourself.
How you carry yourself.
How you carry yourself. So, be your age is, me, myself, I see it or interpret it as like, if you're a 15-year-old or 14-year-old or whatever age you are, and like, let's say you try to be a grown-up, or you try to dress like you're a grown-up and you get mad because either someone hits you up and say, hey, what's up, man? Like, you single? You know what I mean? So my thing is like, don't be mad and start saying things like, oh, that person is a creep or that person is this, because you're doing something not your age. You can't be mad. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You can't be mad because you're not representing yourself as a young girl. Like, 14, I remember when I was like freaking 12 or even 10 or like even go down to like just 7 years old, 8.
Yep.
I wasn't even on social media. And I know that there's a time and different, you know, all that.
It's different.
But my thing was, I didn't even have in mind to think about like dressing like that or acting grown.
Yeah, you just saying as far as the lifestyle of the age.
Yeah, I didn't even have that in mind. Then out here, it's like, because you're right, social media, all these things, it plays a part, but you can't be mad that people out there are being like that because of you not acting your age.
Yeah, so I'm going to get more specific into the details why I wanted to make this a subject of discussion, but I saw a TikTok where an older sister was showing a younger sister a video that the older sister has the mindset and the brain and the psychology to understand of a video of someone dying, showing it to a younger person, her sister, who has no experience or understanding of what she's watching and traumatizing her, right? But because you yourself are a little bit older, you're more desensitized a little bit, which is not really a good word to use, but you can comprehend what you're watching. So in that nature, it's like, dude, be your age and understand that's not proper, that's not suitable content you want to be showing that younger person, right? Or even more, another case is like sometimes the group you hang around with, right? You don't want to be the 31-year-old hanging around with a bunch of 21-year-old guys or girls in that nature, right? Because whether you're single or not, you know, you got different views and goals you're trying to chase. And maybe sometimes that circle you're included with may be holding you back, or maybe they might be helping you. But either way, you have to identify these things, because a lot of it has to do with the way you talk, your vocabulary, the way you carry yourself, the way you dress, the way you act, the way you, you know, condone things around you. That all has to do with acting your age. So be your age, and what I meant is what I meant by that subject. What do you feel about that?
No, you're right about that. Like, Like, I
just bring them. Just bring them. This guy's cutting into our airtime. I apologize, everybody.
I think it needs to wipe a little bit. You're right. Why I say this is because I'm to a point where, like, I'm careful who I have around my daughter. I have two girls, you know. So I'm not going to say I'm a perfect person, but I can eliminate all those things because of how they grow up too fast. Some things are meant to let them grow and mold who they are, but if I'm not careful and bring all this different surrounding around my daughter, you know, watching, I limit my daughter. My daughter don't even know how to text. And I'm grateful. I you know, when I tell that to people, it's like, so how does she get on the laptop? You know, because I limit her from being on technology because it can manipulate her mind to grow up too fast. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, I'll just say this quick example. I'm 31, and if I'm hanging with a friend or a brother of mine that's 21, we're not going to have the same views or conversations about things that he's interested in versus what I'm interested in. I'm not talking about getting with women who are single when I'm obviously married with children. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about owning a house, getting a car, and being around like-minded people. His mindset might be, I want to go to the club. I want to see some willing and able girls and people who just want to party. You know, we're not going to be at the same mindset because of the age difference.
Age, yeah.
So.
That's right.
That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
Cool. Thank you for the insight. That was pretty deep. Moving forward. What I want to talk about next is parental effort. Mm-hmm. And this is, we elaborated on it a little bit last episode. And we've spoken about it in season one. But we always want to drive this point home about parental effort is the effort of being a parent. You know, when you're a parent, what's so important to the children, to the child, and we speak from experience as the child first, that all we wanted to see from our mom and dad was effort. Mm-hmm. That's it. Was that you made an effort to try to show up to our game or come to our ballet recital or even show up to that play that we didn't even get to star in, but just to show up and be there, even if we don't start the first game, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying every parent does this. I'm not saying all Islander parents do this. I'm just saying for us, because we know that experience, we want to reach out to parents that might be missing those opportunities and just say, it's all about the effort you make that changes the child's life for the better. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, you know, growing up, I've always thought having parents was really cool. Yeah. You know, as I got older.
It's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah, as I got older, I find out about people's experience that has parents, and it's almost the same thing as me not having parents.
What was missing?
The effort.
Man.
You know what I mean? Like, you can have parents who work like crazy and don't even put the effort to just take one game. Point. You know what I mean? My thing is, then I look at it as like, oh, it's not so bad. You know, there's people that are still dealing with it that have parents, but they don't take advantage of it.
Yeah.
You know? And I think the difference that I can speak this so boldly and confident is one thing that we both grow and learn is that we don't care how much money we have.
Yeah.
We don't care where we're at.
That shouldn't even be the point.
We don't care. You know, people can look at us and say, man, they're crazy, you know? But as long as my family is together, that's the effort that I put.
You know, I got to piggyback off that. I'm sorry. I don't want to steal your thoughts, but like, it's not that. Yes, there is the financial in it is important. That mm-hmm. is important. We don't want to take that away. Yes. How else are we going to eat? We get it. It's the fact that if we just focus all our time and effort and energy into that one thing, we end up missing all the other aspects. The love, the failures, the unsuccess, the storms into, yes, the triumph, the successes, and like all that we miss out because we're so busy as parents. Now I'm speaking as the parent, no longer the child, because of how we're focused on everything else but the development and in relationship and love that we share with our children, right? When I speak in front of my children, I should speak as a parent who is, you know, sure of what he or she is doing in life. I should never be the parent that's like, well, if we don't have money for next week, how are you going to eat?
Yeah.
So in that, I give all our credit to Jah the Almighty, who honestly gives us understanding, whether we're reading the Bible or we're taking an experience and sharing it and applying it to our life.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't ever want our kids to understand that we doubt ourselves because we don't believe.
Yeah.
No, we do believe. That's why we have the boldness to be like, hey, I don't care about the money. We're going to the carnival next week.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's really just believing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think I said it, me and you had our talk, you know, when it's just our talk. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is that we always talk about what we have as far as like, man, we could have been this if our parents was this, or we couldn't be there that if our parents were this, you know, or just putting effort to how athletic we both are. And it's not to boast about how talented we are, but it's really just saying like, you could have paved a way better for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
But I think we're meant to have a hard life. Not in a sense that we you know, we're being punished, but because we can take it.
I think coming from a PI home and seeing how the PI, you know, situations can sometimes grab away our attention from our family. Speaking as a parent from the PI home, it's easy. It's easy to lose sight of those things, right? Because we put duty before family.
Yes.
Or sometimes we rearrange those priorities and forget what God was in the first place.
Yeah.
And for us, luckily, because, you know, speaking from our experience, we got God in first in our priorities. Everything else aligns. Now, obviously, not everybody believes in what we believe in and follows that format. But still, you got to make sure that you don't let the past generation problems pass on.
Yeah.
And for us, me and my wife specifically, as we've said many times, the one thing we don't want our kids to get from us is our unbelief.
Yeah.
That's more dangerous than anything. They can watch us fail. They can watch us lose all the money we have. They can even watch us get sick and die. But one thing we will never allow our kids to watch us do in their lifetime is have so much unbelief that it passes on to them.
Yeah. I think we've said it before, is that I'd rather us bring all the struggle and the things that we deal with as parents than seeing our kids go through that.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? So I'll take it any day, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's the most important thing, is putting effort in everything, you know?
If all it took for me to build a better relationship with my son or my daughter was to come and cheer them on at their game, or to come and support them at their fundraiser, or just to come and hang out for an hour or two sitting at a table at a restaurant, whatever, that's what I'm gonna do. Because the effort I put into, you know, grinding out 8 hours at work just to come home and sit down and be tired when my kids are yelling, mommy, daddy, I want to play, and I don't have the energy or even the spirit to get up and, you know, entertain them and show them my love and care for them. What a sad life.
Yeah.
You know, to look back and reflect that I didn't put enough effort into my parenting.
Now, don't get me wrong. There's a situation where you just can't control it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where just you're a single mom or a single father, or, you know, rest in peace to whoever their parents passed away, or whatever the case may be. We're not saying this to be insensitive, but we're saying this because there is parents out there who don't take advantage of putting efforts into their kids. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's why we shout out to our uncles and auntie, because,
you know, they were moms and dads.
They were moms and dads.
And mom and dad to us too.
Mm-hmm.
So we thank them for that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think one thing, if you get away from me and my wife here on aisle 7, is that effort goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
It goes longer than the money and the hours you spend at work.
Yeah.
And if we can share any message with you, is to just give an effort as a parent and let the kids know you're there.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm good with that.
I'm okay with that.
We're great parents.
Yes. We hear our kids saying it all the time.
Everybody who listens to our podcast is great parents.
Yeah.
And we're just all growing together.
Yes.
I speak that over all of us.
Yes.
So with that being said, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue the discussions. But don't stop being a great parent and giving effort. We pray that over you. I love you.
Love you too, baby.
Son, you need to shut the hell up. Okay, so continuing on with our discussion, The 13 families, accents come from our ancestors, black people, the original Jews, condoning underage activity. Was Hitler wrong? What would you like to choose?
Condoning
underage activity. So, me and my wife, I would consider us great aunties and uncles. We are great aunties and uncles to our nieces and nephews. And why I'm using that as an example, the auntie, the uncle, and the niece and nephew relationship is that we do a good job of parenting our own kids. But we don't ever want to give the impression that we treat our kids better than your kids if they stay with us, right? If we're watching your niece or your our niece, our nephew, or your kids when you bring them over, the last thing we'd want them to feel is that we're treating them different from our own kids. Mm-hmm. But the one thing we also won't do is allow or condone anything of the nature we don't believe in. Mm-hmm. So I won't smoke or drink with your kids, even if your kids do it, underage or not. You know, there's some things I do believe in, and there's some things my wife do believe in, and we don't, and there's things we don't condone. But underage activity, I will never allow around me, especially like if I didn't even know you were doing that. How do you feel about that?
Man, everything that you're saying, I agree with it 100%. Yeah. I've always been the type that I'm not going to act like I'm perfect, but at the same time, I'm not going to allow things that my nieces and nephew are doing if I don't want you to do that with my kids.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So, like you said, you know, when we watch our nieces and nephews, it's just like watching our own kids. But at the same time, in reverse, you're not going to have your kids come over here and do things that my kids are going to copy or do. You know what I mean? Not saying, like, your kids are bad, but also what I have in this household is going to play. It's going to go off by that, you know? And the reason why I'm saying that is because I'm not saying it's happy. We're still young auntie and uncles. We'll still have a lot of years to grow and learn and all of that. But even as of now, I have nieces and nephews who's already older and think that they can act grown. And I don't play that. And a lot of them don't like me that because of that specific reason. Yeah. You know, I don't...
Certain ones, not all of
them. Yeah, not all of them, but...
feel that way about
yeah,
you.
But some who's older don't like to be around me because I don't condone that.
Yeah. So, like, what I want to speak on is that, obviously, we as human beings, our mindset and our relationships change based on our aspects and where we're at in our life and where we're growing in our development, right? For me, I'm 31 years old. I'm a parent, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a uncle, I'm a cousin, I'm a brother, I'm a son, I'm a grandson. All of those titles fall properly on me. So I have to wear each one of those hats when I'm in those situations or relationships. One thing for sure is whether it's your my niece or my nephew or your kids or my kids or whatever, or even kids that I'm watching at my job or whatever, there are certain things that I'm okay with, and there's things illegally that I'm not okay with, that I try to keep the line straight and visible so that the children and me understand that, hey, there's some things I tolerate and there's some things I cannot condone. Mm-hmm. And why I say this is, if it's me and my brother, you know, and the age gap is pretty, you know, it's pretty gappy, but the understanding is this is my brother, I'm watching him, okay? That's me and my brother. Now, if it's me and, you know, my nephew or my niece, and they're smoking, and I didn't even know. But whoa. I mean, this is not even about a gap thing, right? You're just way underage. First, I'm going to stop you. And then, two, I'm going to ask, do your parents know? Or does any of the adults that you come from, do they know you're doing this? And then, three, I'm going to stop it because I don't condone it. That's my personal policy.
Yeah.
See, if I establish that, then you'll respect it. But one thing for sure is if you don't and you do that normally around me, the thing that could happen is somebody walk by and see us and be like, oh, so you let that kid do that? I didn't even know.
Yeah.
And this can happen often. What do you think?
Yeah, and even can be mistakenly, like, take wrong. You know what I mean?
Take wrong, yes.
And you know, a lot of...
Being at our house and they're in the backyard smoking and stuff, and we had no idea what's going on.
And you know what? Man... I don't want to say this, but I have it in my heart to say this.
Or drinking.
The drinking and smoking together with uncle and aunties, man, our community, it happens.
Yeah. It condones it and it allows it.
you know, what things happen.
Because
like
the situation becomes, you know, toxic and available.
And then not even just that, but, you know, because you're toxic and you don't know what you're doing, it could look wrong. You know, it could be wrong.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I can't speak so much for my wife, but myself, I drank when I was 21. You know, I'm not trying to say I saved that because I was trying to be all holier than thou. I just never had a need to. But I did smoke when I was 16. I smoked weed when I was 16. But I wasn't smoking with no adults. I went out to the house and did it on my own with my friends and stuff. Yeah. And, you know, I would never want to get my aunties or my uncles or my mom and dad in trouble. Yeah. So that's what I'm trying to say.
And not even just that. We're not here to paint a picture that we're perfect.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to stretch
it's
that
It's basically
out.
Morality. It's, yeah. What's wrong and what's right.
Yeah. We're in a point in our life that drinking and smoking is not, it's not anything to do. You know what I mean? We don't condone that, and we also don't, we don't judge people who does it. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, it's like condoning your young nephews and nieces and things like that, you'd be surprised when they get disrespected with you, and then you get mad. Because you kind of already give them the comfortability to talk to you that way, or don't give you that type of respect. You know what I mean? So my thing is like, I really don't condone those things because of what can happen, consequences that come with.
So I just want to say this, and it'll be quick, but all me and my wife are trying to say here is that on aisle 7, we're just trying to lead better examples and lead better lives by setting the examples for better lives. And if that means that, you know, we lose a few relationships or, you know, we get scolded or some people look at us wrong, by all means, that's fine. But we're not going to condone any of that because it's illegal and morally it's wrong. So, you know, when you're old enough, oh, for sure, we can get fucked up and all that. But, you know, in the meantime, you got to do a little growing and an understanding to have the responsibility to act that way. So, I'm good.
I'm okay with it.
Okay. So, we're going to go to a really quick subject. And this is just really quick, but you ever thought about accents and where they come from? You know what I'm saying? I was watching a TikTok and this lady was talking about accents and how they come from our ancestors. And it made me dive deep to think about, holy shit, that's right. You know what I'm saying? You can tell a person's origin based on their accent. You know what I'm saying? Like, hello, my name is Gupta Sandeep. You would automatically assume that I'm from India. Or, yes, my name is, you know, Michael Ruski and I'm from Russia. You would think I'm from Russia. Or if you heard me, like, you know, yeah, hey, Togo, you know I'm from Tonga.
Hey,
but
they're from Tonga.
These accents, you know, they identify where people come from. And then you think, that's what our ancestors years ago, centuries ago, sounded like. And when she said that, I was like, oh my God, that's true. I sound just like my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. You know, I mean, obviously, I don't speak with an accent. I'm pretty well-spoken, but it's like, If I have to say one thing to the generations coming in the future is don't be a stupid like me, eh? And I would think to myself, holy shit, that's what my great 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 grandpa sounded like years ago. What do you think about that?
I just thought about a funny story. When me and my husband first saw.
Oh shit, no, that's not even an accent, bro. No, you just put me on the spot now. That's fucked up. But they don't got gun.
But then they got cut. you don't have an accent at all.
I can though.
Yeah, but you're good at it. You're good at
because
it.
Because I've been around, you know, many cultures.
The thing is, like, I remember it. I remember it very clear when I asked my husband to say the alphabet, you know, in tongue, and I remember just
has
briefly,
to
and
do
you
with
know,
accent.
No, but there wasn't no accent. But it was just like I knew. He didn't speak well Tongan at the time, because I can tell by you have no accent.
Yeah.
You know? So my thing is like, with me too, because I have an accent, because Tongan is my first language. You know, so that, like, when I would speak, everybody can tell I speak Tongan. But when the other race don't know what Tongan is, they'll be like, oh, you sound like you're from New York. Yeah. But they don't know that it's just hella fob. Yeah. But that's what I got.
I'm good with that. I just wanted to bring that up.
I'm good.
Well, so we got 13 families. Black people are the original Jews. And was Hitler wrong? What would you like to speak on?
The 13 families.
So the 13 families in the theorist community, because I won't say conspiracists because it just has yet to be proven. But basically, the 13 families are the 13 original families who came to America and are still the richest families today that the public probably aren't aware of, right? And what I mean by that is, like, specifically in the PI community, Pacific Islanders don't even know who any of the 13 families are. And I wouldn't say all of them. There are probably a few select, maybe 1% of us who do. But why this was something for me to bring up was that if you look at where the money trails in America and go through the bank systems and the Federal Reserve, all that money goes back to the 13 families originally. Go ahead and do your research if you don't believe what I'm talking about. And those 13 families are the Astor bloodline, the Bundy bloodline, the Collins bloodline, the DuPont bloodline, the Freeman bloodline, the Kennedy bloodline, the Lee bloodline, the Onassis bloodline, the Rockefeller bloodline, the Russell bloodline, the Van Duyn bloodline, the Merovingian bloodline, and the Rothschild bloodline. Any company, any business, any corporation that you know of, whether it be Nike or, you know, bank systems all around the world or even just prominently in America, look at where the money traces back to and you'll find those families linked to the money.
Is there a reason why that is?
Well, so when America was first started, there was 13 original colonies. Right.
Okay.
In correlation to the 13 families, these were the 13 families who started those colonies because they funded the settlers that came to America to start the first foundations, right? Since then, that money has been growing generationally, consistently, and it's in the banks, it's in the corporations, it's in the hospitals, it's in the schools and establishments, and you can look up any of these 13 families and you'll see the trees of businesses they're connected to, right? And every person or any country that is in business with them is indebted to them. Why I wanted to talk about this is, you know, why don't we learn about these families in public education or just school curriculum, period? Because they basically fund everything in America.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
That's crazy.
How do you feel about that?
I've never thought about it. I actually never knew about that.
Yeah.
You know? So meaning they still have ancestors. I mean, not ancestors, like family is still alive.
That money is older than any of us right now, currently in the generations.
That's scary. That's crazy.
Yeah. I think, so like for me, the DuPont and the Rockefeller and the Rothschild, I that's how I got linked to it. Because you'll see DuPont trucks, you know, driving. If we go from Vegas to the Bay Area, you see them just driving the big semi trucks. They're the DuPonts. I think also Freeman is a line of those, and that's their business when they transfer, you know, goods and stuff back into other states. The Rockefeller Center in New York, that's theirs. It belongs to the family. And then the Rothschild, because I believe he's still alive. The oldest member of the family is still alive, I believe. And he's 106, I believe. I want to say that correctly. I'm not sure. I could still do some research on that.
Oh, this is like one of the...
Yeah, but they're basically in the trillions. They're trillionaires. And it's just amazing to me how any money or any trace of money that you follow long enough, it all connects back to one of the original 13 families of America.
That's crazy.
So just do your research and study up on this, because it could correlate with how things are ran. Because some people believe in the theorist community that these people control how the media and how stuff runs around here, such as Black Lives Matter movement,
yep,
social injustice, the election, and all those things of that nature. They say a lot of celebrities and our athletes, they have those hands in their pockets and stuff. So it was just something that piqued my interest, and I had to look up. So, you know, how do you feel about that?
That's interesting. It makes me want to do research on it too myself.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I don't believe in any way, shape, or form they influence our country.
No, of course.
But,
of
you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to reach out.
Exactly.
You know, so...
Because, you know, when you know your research and you know your history, it's important.
Once again, those 13 families were the Astor, the Bundy, the Collins, the DuPont, the Freemans, the Kennedys, the Lees, the Onassis, the Rockefellers, the Russells, the Van Duyn, the Merovingian, and the Rothschilds. Go ahead and do your research and tell me if I'm lying or not. And follow where all the money in America traces back to. And, you know, tell me the results when you get to them.
I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and take another break. When we come back, we will finish out our discussion. Go ahead, get some snacks, get some drinks, and we're going to finish out to the fourth quarter. All right, let's go. Hey guys, we're back. Time for the fourth quarter. All right, so we have black people, the original Jews, and was Hitler wrong? What'd you like to talk on, babe?
Black people.
Yeah, I love talking about black people. No, but black people, the original Jews. So recently, I'd been doing some studies based on some stuff I was previously interested about, but because I'd be on TikTok like every other freaking hour, something had caught my attention, and that was, you know, I obviously have said it before that I do believe Jesus is black, but more importantly, that this statement, black people are the original Jews, was that in this TikTok I was watching, this guy was describing how in the original text in the Bibles and other historical documents, that the Jews, the original Jews, the Hebrews, the Israelites, were depicted as of darker brass skin or a darker tone, and how they might have actually been more an origin of Africa. And whether or not that's true, it just makes more sense, because if it says it in the Bible that they were of a darker hue or tone, one could only think, why do we still think Jews are of lighter skin or possibly even just whiter, you know, texture? What do you feel about that?
It's crazy to, you know, all my life, all I ever know is that Jesus was white.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. But it's because of how I was growing up, you know, and I'm learning now that when we were, you know, not colonized, but when they came out, yeah. You know, made us believe that Jesus was white. And even to now, I still question whether if he was or not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, I wouldn't doubt it that there's so many things happening to black people. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I love that you brought that up.
And the reason why I'm saying that, like, I'm not saying like it matters, but if you really just sit and think, like, I don't even have to do research, and I think about what they've gone through all these years, right? But all I can say is that maybe there's more to what it is from what we're dealing now and what's been happening years back. Yeah. You know?
Like, so with this, the research, how far I've gotten was that, like, it goes back as far as 1600s, how white influence became prominent in the Bible, and like how it changed drastically. Because in the Bible, the older texts, as old as the King James Version, they clearly describe the Jews and the Israelites and the Hebrews as darker skinned people. In a book written by, I believe the guy's name is Omar Dovapi, the book is titled, Darker Skin is the Curse. And I remember this story specifically. I don't know if it was in the Bible currently or if it was older books of the Bible, but that the Israelites were cursed with dark skin. And this was a mark of their sin against God, because they didn't uphold the commandments. And that's why black people are possibly suffering today, because they're still suffering from the curses of their ancestors back then. Now, I'm not saying that's truth or that's what it is. I'm saying this is as far as my understanding in the research and the text that I've gotten from sources such as Google, YouTube, you know,
TikTok.
Books, online books, and TikTok as well. But, I mean, they're credible sources. What I'm trying to say is that if black people are the original Jews, that not only changes the whole game, but it changes the perspective and the influence of the Bible itself. Because what else have we been lied about, right? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's such a powerful subject to speak about, you know, because there's so many research that we can do, and us minorities, like the people in the middle, are kind of like, man, like, where do we stand in all this? And it all comes down to what's going on now, like Black Lives Matter, you know, like that, and then goes from there to all these things that's happening, and I don't think I've ever heard any story all like because I
you're just saying as far as if it was true that black people are being
punished for their old
curses,
yes,
but this could be
tied to that. You know, there's gonna be like probably more than what it is. You know what I mean? That drive them so crazy to be passed down, and I mean, look at it. They lost their culture. They have no culture. You know, to be honest, they don't have like a stable mind because of what that's been done to them all these years. You know what I mean? You keep poking them. Now they're gone mad. They don't care about anything, to be fair, anymore. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
well, as far as the theory or the study goes, it splinters into a ripple effect, right? Because if you think about black people being the original Jews, you think about the Moors, you think about Jesus being black, but it splinters into so many other things, right? And the only reason why this was a subject to discuss was that if black people are the original Jews, right? That means for centuries upon centuries upon centuries and millenniums that black people have been suffering since 3,000 years ago.
Yeah.
From the time of Jesus and before to the time of now, where even, this is touchy, but even the time of the Holocaust, right? That if all that was portrayed by the media, what else have we been conditioned to believe, right?
Do you think that if things changed, let's say not everything just go back to what we've been fighting for, not black people been fighting for, you think it's gonna, like, it can help
what you're saying as far as the solution?
Yeah.
So I don't know what the answer would be to that, because I'm still doing my research and study in black people being the original Jews. But one thing I'm starting to believe in as far as a consistency is that black people have been disadvantaged for years upon years. I mean, I can't even describe how long the timeline has been, but they've been disadvantaged. And I can't put my hand on what it's been, what it is that they've been disadvantaged in, but they were prominent at one point, like big time leaders of the world. And how they lost that, they were kings and queens of civilizations that were built eons ago, and they just lose it. The point would be like, where did they lose it, and when did they lose it, and how did they lose it?
That means something happened. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, of course, something happened, but something.
Yeah. Man. I believe if we find whatever that event was, that's the connection to all of us.
That's what I'm saying. I was trying to ask. What if we all go back and just fix it by just saying, you know what? This is the truth.
Yeah, it's just got to be more research.
You know?
More research. So I'm good with that.
I'm okay.
So moving forward, was Hitler wrong? So recently, I think about a month ago, maybe, but it was definitely before the NFL season had started, Deshaun Jackson had made some anti-Semitic posts for a critical teaching moment. But basically, what he had did was, I believe it was Twitter he'd got on, and he had made some not good comments about the Jewish community, him and some other athletes. But it was towards the lines of like the Holocaust being validated, that the Jews that we know of such as movies and things of Schindler's List and the history that we've been taught about the Jews in Auschwitz and Europe at that time, when Germany and the Nazis and Hitler were killing them off, was that Hitler was a hateful dictator who just hated the Jews and wanted to just commit mass genocide and erase and make a whole people extinct because he didn't like them. I looked into this and I was wondering, you know, why would anybody say something like that or just think that way? And it wasn't just Deshaun. There was a few more athletes. I don't have the proper source on this, but, you know, there were some things I had seen recently that, whether it was on Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok, of, you know, then this connects to the black people being the original Jews, but that the Holocaust was a whole hoax, that what was going on was actually fake, and that what Hitler was trying to do was trying to warn the world of the Jews that we know of today, the white Jews and stuff like that, are evil people trying to take over our money and our minds and basically commit docile mass mind wipe to the masses. What I mean by that is, like, basically, we have no idea that while all this is going on in front of us, that there are people playing the game behind us. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well,
how do you feel about that? Was Hitler wrong?
You know, because I don't really, really know as far as, like, what's going on with who Hitler was and all of this. I know he was a big part of that, killing all those people. You know what I mean? But I really don't know what was wrong for. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, people can make quotes or make all this stuff about him, but the thing is, at the end of the day, he was doing a crime. He was killing people. You know what I'm saying? So, I can't really answer that to where I think he's right or wrong or any of that, because I can't just go off by just because he was killing people, he's wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know what's the real, like the root of why he did what he did.
Yeah.
You know?
So, basically, this is Adolf Hitler. Mm. Okay, so he was a German politician and leader of the Nazi Party. He rose to power as the Chancellor of Germany in 1933, and then in the Führer in 1934. During the dictatorship 1933 to 1945, he initiated World War II in Europe by invading Poland September 1st, 1939. He was closely involved in the military operations throughout the war and was central to the perpetration of the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. Basically, what that all means was that he was the reason for World War II and how that all played out because of the actions he took on invading Poland September 1st. And what that basically did was that it made the whole world go against him, because at the time, America and the Allies, you know, I wasn't alive at the time, and I honestly haven't spoken to anybody from that lifetime that could explain what the pandemic or the feeling of it was like. But what the theorist community believes was that Hitler was trying to warn the world that the Jews were planning and plotting something evil, and if they didn't wake their eyes up before it happened, that we were all going to be caught in
something
in the game.
So it's almost kind of like the Avenging Angels.
Well,
like almost, not,
kind
not,
of in a way that he was doing that because he was affected.
Yeah.
But Hitler, he had this whole, I won't even say conspiracy theory. Hitler basically believed, and he said he saw visions in the future that people were being mass deceived, mass deception of these are not the real Jews. They're trying to trick you. And basically, you know, it brought up the question, was Hitler wrong? I'm not trying to condone what happened. What I'm trying to say is think of the other side of the story.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I couldn't say if it was right or wrong, because at the end of the day, he still committed a crime.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is that, what if he was right? What if his whole vision was true? And they were killing him because he was going to expose something that was true to what he's saying. Not condoning the violence and all that.
Yeah.
Because he had created all these things that happened. But there's so many things that America has been lied about. Yeah. You know what I mean?
What I want you guys to understand is that me and my wife here on aisle 7, our views on Nazism is that we don't condone it, or we don't even involve ourselves in that. We don't accept that, nor do we promote that. We're not for that, but we are for understanding both sides.
Yeah.
That much is for sure. We would never just close off one person, because we know personally what it's like to be judged by one-sided parties, you know,
and not know the rest.
But
of the story.
To me, why it was important for me to look into this research and stuff. And trust me, the research is deep and massive, like, and what people are looking for as far as answers and was Hitler wrong. But, I mean, I'm not being anti-Semitic here, but, you know, when you think about money and those in power and who's rich, I mean, they're usually nine times out of ten Jewish.
At the end of the day, like, those people could people with the money, you know what I mean? They could pay.
We mentioned the 13 families. Yeah. I want to say 7 of the 13 families are Jewish.
That's crazy.
But, you know, it's just speculation at that point. But I just say that to highlight this. Don't believe just one part of something you're studying or that's being pushed on you. You got to find all the facts and adjust and assimilate to what, you know, fits your criteria of morality, the wrong and the right, right?
Yeah. There's always three sides to the story. It's the wrong, the right, and what really happened.
What really happened. And then it just goes back to what me and my wife has always preached, is that sometimes history is written by the victor. And that's the sad truth. That once the other side dies, they can't tell their story.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, that was powerful, man. I wish we could talk more about it, because now I'm just kind of wanting more. You know what I mean?
That's been another episode of Aisle 7, the podcast. Me and my wife would like to thank you guys for joining us. You know, episode 10, obviously coming up next. But, you know, we just would like to say that, you know, still looking for sponsors. Final Feast, do you have anything to say before we go?
Just do research, you know. With everything that we're stretching out on here, it's just bringing awareness, but not saying that we're taking anybody's side.
Just get all the facts so that you can make your decision.
Yeah, so do research, a lot of research. I myself is working on that, but just do it.
Yeah. For me and to you guys, I just want to say, just like the X-Files, the truth is out there.
Yep.
With that being said, guys, thank you. That was another installment once again. From me and my wife to you guys here on House 7, the podcast. Above all else,
Job bless.